the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Number three of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson, Vince Ferrara, pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. We can tell you that Tennessee leads Charlotte, the 49ers, 4-2 in the bottom of the third. Volunteers threatening to get some of those runs back. Tennessee led 4-0 before the visitors got two in the top half of the inning. Tennessee with runners on first and third, two out as they play at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates hotline is Mark Pankratz as we turn our attention to Tennessee SEC and college hoops for the first half of this final hour of the program. Mark, how are you?
I am doing great, guys. It sounds like both baseball teams, Tennessee and Charlotte, have already made score more points than Vanderbilt did from three last game against Tennessee. So I'm good. I'm excited for tonight's matchup.
I think my favorite line that came out of the trip to Nashville was that they had to shut down the Vanderbilt cafeteria because they were all out of trays.
Oh, wow.
But anyhow.
But does anybody else not think that the first three-pointer that Vandy shoots tonight is going to be nothing but net? I mean, maybe it's the Tennessee, the beaten-up Tennessee fan in me that feels like tonight Vanderbilt's just going to come out and go like 12 for 15 from three and just be unconscious because of what happened in Nashville last game.
Yeah, it was rough and tumble in the first half, and then Tennessee really put on the clamps defensively and pulled away in the second half. And when you look at the matchup tonight, I don't think there's any question that, one, while Vanderbilt has just one win in conference play, they were the first team to knock off LSU, and they did so convincingly. They outscored them 99-90. And then, and as Rick Barnes talked about in meeting the media yesterday, you can look at every player that Vanderbilt plays, and they've gotten better throughout the course of the season. So he thinks that Jerry Stackhouse has done a fine job, and I don't think there's any question they look at this as an opportunity for a second win after getting LSU, and I think they've dropped each game since. But I think they're pretty fired up for this matchup, and Tennessee has to be ready, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, sometimes you hear some of the comments by other coaches on these SEC calls or in media appearances, and it's coaches talk, right? But when you watch this Vanderbilt team, Saban Lee and Scottie Pippen Jr. have both continued to improve. And Tennessee's struggle has been being able to keep guys out of the paint. And those are guys that if like Texas A&M did, a couple weeks back, if they start attacking downhill and getting a bunch of paint touches and now all of a sudden kicking out to guys that we know that they're a better shooting team than they have shown in the past, it could be trouble for Tennessee because, if our offense is so much dictated by our defense and if they're able to get the spots on floor and get paint touches, it's going to make it a challenge for us.
Charge or flop?
I'm not upset by the call. I don't think it was an obvious charge. I don't think it was an obvious block. I think the orange-blooded Tennessee fan would say it was absolutely a block. And if you're not a Tennessee fan, you're thinking it was an okay call. It shouldn't have come down to that. You have some empty possessions down the stretch that put yourself in that position to where you miss some front end, you miss some free throws to where it came down to that. And anytime you put it into the whistle of the official, especially these days, you don't know what you're going to get. And that one didn't go in our favor, whereas the charge called in favor of Tennessee a couple of weeks back, it did. And so you got to live with it and move on.
Mark, I thought it was interesting. Rick Barnes, I guess it was in the post game, explained that Jordan Bowden, their in one of those final possessions where Vescovi ended up turning it over, that Bowden didn't, they were keeping the ball away from Vescovi, and Bowden still kind of forced it to him, and he had to split defenders in a tough spot and ended up turning it over, where Barnes wanted him to make a play at the end. Is that kind of indicative of the type of season that Jordan Bowden's had?
Yeah, I think it's a sign of lack of confidence a little bit. I also think it's a one of, you know, Vescovi has by all means exceeded expectations for what he's brought to the table, with no preseason, half of a season, everything that's been talked about. But I also think it's a little bit of an indictment on Vescovi's ability to get open, you know, and you are the guy that the coach wanted the ball in his hands. Vescovi, I don't care. I'd rather have you get called for an offensive foul for pushing off because you're so adamant about getting that basketball because you want to make a play. Just as adamant as I am of if it's Bowden, okay, I'm a senior. Yeah, coach called your number. You weren't able to get open. All right, now I'm going to go make a play. But that's just not – that's an example of Bowden is better when he's option two or option three. And it's not an indictment on him. That's just his makeup. And the fact that Vescovi couldn't get open led to him trying to drive it to the middle between two guys that led to the turnover to then free throws. You know, that was one of those empty possessions that I was referring to that makes me more upset than the block charge call at the end of the game.
Let's get a call from Roger. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Roger.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, Mark, man. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good, Roger.
Good. Good to talk to you, man. Since I met you one time, good to talk to you. And I just wanted to ask you, Mark, about the game, about Tennessee in general. I know that they had a tight loss at the end, Mark. I just want to ask you, Mark, how do you learn from what happened after what happened this past game at the end? How do you learn from that and try to get better about that?
Think, Mark? Watching that game, they are improving. You know, obviously, Fulkerson is having an all-SEC type caliber season. Ponce continues to affect both ends of the floor. Our offense, there's still some breaks in scoring output, but it's becoming more fluid. A lot of it because we're realizing that we've got to play through Fulkerson, Ponce, and Vescovi. Our identity is being slowly defined on the offensive end, but it definitely defense has been the focal point. How do you learn from it? It's our point guard play, our motion offense, getting easy baskets. Mm. You know, it's easy tape to go back and watch if some of those early things that happened in the first half, silly turnovers. You know, when you have the ball, when they turn the ball over 20 times, it's tough to win on the road against anybody, let alone a conference opponent. And so, I think there's a ton of learning, but I also think that this team is getting better. And I think a lot of ways the struggles that we've had this year, the lack of depth, is going to be a blessing to next season.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. And you're right. They're all getting better, too. Right. They're all getting better, I think they are. And so forward to that game tonight, Mark. Tonight's game, how you think Tennessee going to, you think Tennessee can win? You think Tennessee can win that tonight, you think? Tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I think, I'm interested to see, Jalen Johnson, Josiah James. You know, really what we're at the point now in this season where Fulkerson is bringing what he's bringing, Ponce is bringing what he's bringing, Vescovi, but it's these other guys. What's Bowden going to do? How is he going to impact the game? If he's not making shots, can he be impactful in the game? Same with Jalen Johnson. He makes a couple threes. How does he impact the game? How does Gaines, you know, I really like Gaines. I like his effort. I like his length. He is improving day in and day out. But what does he do tonight? Josiah James, the second game back, showed some good signs. So it's I'm more interested at this point. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily about outcomes, you know, because I'm looking at the bigger picture of this game is one that we should win, but how do we win and how are guys improving?
Roger, we appreciate the call. Thanks as always. Enjoy the game. We'll get a break and be back with more. We've got another segment with Mark Pankratz coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This ain't your mama's radio station. Unless you've got a really cool mama. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Guest Mark Pankratz as we talk Tennessee, SEC, and college hoops. If you have a question or comment for Mark, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Mark, how do you think Rick Barnes is going to use Josiah Jordan James? Do you think after getting a game in his belt that maybe we see him back in that smaller starting lineup, maybe in place of a Jalen Johnson, or do you think there's still some kind of building back up to get him fully back?
Well, I think, you know, he played 30 minutes the other night and knocked down a couple threes. I thought, gosh, that free throw miss at the buzzer, I thought that might fall. But, you know, there is something to be said about when you look at our bench, you know, we've got no scoring pop coming off the bench. I mean, there's been times, I think, where, you know, the Kansas game, other than Jalen Johnson's one free throw, I don't think anybody else scored, and that's not abnormal. So, you know, whether it was Josiah, you know, I think there could be something to say at some point. Does Jordan Bowden coming off the bench alleviate some pressure? You know, it'd be nice to have a second unit guy, kind of like Lamonte Turner was last year, coming off the bench. But, I would expect Josiah to be able to play, you know, another 30 minutes tonight. And, but I do think it's important that we continue to sprinkle in good minutes from Devontae, Jalen, and Olivier to get more and more experience under their belt for not only down the stretch of the season, but also looking ahead to their experience and for next year.
There hasn't been a ton of discussion that I've heard about this, but it's something that I've been thinking about recently. How much does this team and maybe some of the older players like a Jordan Bowden miss Rob Lanier?
Well, I think anybody of Rob's, Coach Lanier's character, experience, you know, talking through the guys, of the highs and lows, and not just guys, you know, like any old players. I mean, he's been on some staffs at Florida, where he's talking to NBA, very successful NBA players, and I think that can be a part of it. But I think, you know, Kim English is a guy that you know, I really think stepped in and was a great replacement for Coach Lanier. I know those guys really respect him. He relates to those guys. It played at a high level. And so I think there's some of that, where they miss Coach Lanier. But I think Kim English is a rising star in the profession that those guys have good fortunes of being able to lean on throughout the season.
Mark, you take a quick look around the Southeastern Conference. What did you think of Kentucky waking up Saturday, part of a three-way tie, going to bed as the only team in first place after both LSU and Auburn lost on the road?
Well, it's I know they were smiling ear to ear anytime as you can get some late unexpected losses this time of year. It's good, especially now, you know, Kentucky gets to go play LSU tonight, which will be a matchup that Kentucky's interior play has been a big difference, but I really think their guard play has continued to improve, which makes a huge difference, and it'll be a good matchup tonight versus LSU. Auburn, Achura was out injured. They've been dealing with some sickness. I think Auburn's going to continue to be right there near the top, but there's not much separation. Florida's lurking around there, 8-4. South Carolina with their win, I think, is a step behind those others. But it'll be interesting down the stretch, and the league has shown that just like Vanderbilt beating LSU, there's some ones that you scratch your head saying, how did they beat that? And I don't think we're done with that. I think there'll be a couple more down the stretch, and hopefully Tennessee can be one of those that puts a couple upsets under their belt.
We've seen Joe Lunardi feature as many as six SEC teams after conference play began in his field of 68. Now it's down to four, Auburn and Kentucky. He has both as four seeds. I think he's got LSU as an 8 and Florida as a 9. But you do have two SEC teams that right now are in that first four out, and that would be Alabama, the second team of the first four out, and Mississippi State, the fourth team of the first four out. It really looks like Arkansas is going to have to put something together to finish strong to get back on that bubble, because the conference play has just been a nightmare for the Razorbacks, hasn't it?
It has been, but I really like Mississippi State getting in. I mean, you look at their remaining scheduling, it's South Carolina, A&M, Alabama, Missouri, South Carolina, and Ole Miss. You don't have – now, granted, you lose a couple of those, and you're in trouble because they don't have any of their ranked opponents left. But they're going to have a chance to finish out strong in the league. And same thing with even, South Carolina. They don't have any – they've got LSU, but they don't really have any other ranked opponents. And we're comparing that to the Tennessee gauntlet, where they've got about everybody left. But that's what also makes for a fun SEC tournament, where you've got teams in the top tier, Florida through Kentucky, really battling for seeding. And then you've got another two or three teams that are fighting for their lives to get in the NCAA tournament. And so it'll make for a really fun SEC tournament, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mississippi State ends up getting into the tournament because of their schedule down the stretch.
How do you think Tennessee can fare in those final five games? You've got two of those games at home. You'll have Auburn here, you'll have Florida here, but you go to Auburn, you go to Arkansas, and you go to Kentucky. Is the best case the hope that you can protect the home floor?
Well, I don't think that's best news. I give Barnes and this team a little bit more runway than that. I think the best case would be, in my eyes, where if you protect your home court, and then you get one more. If you can beat Vanderbilt tonight, if you can beat Florida. My thing is that if you can go to Arkansas and win there, and then if you can get Auburn one of the times, I think that's where, if you can get four of these down the stretch, I think would be a tremendous finish to the year. But I wouldn't be surprised if they even only won two of those ball games.
Mark, John Fulkerson, career high in points of 25, but had some of those mistakes, the turnovers, the missed free throws. What do you see from him and his development and contributing, but still having things that he wants to clean up?
Well, I'm not gonna lie. Coming into the year, I was not. I wasn't drinking the John Fulkerson Kool-Aid. I felt that the fan base loved him a little bit more because he was, you know, one of their own and was kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt. And you know, you'd see him go up against the better opponents, and he'd get, you know, kind of manhandled on rebounds, but then all of a sudden he'd throw his body around and get one, and the crowd would go nuts. And I'm like, wait, did y'all just not see that he got dominated the previous two possessions? But that can't be said anymore. I mean, he is having an all-SEC type year. His effort, it used to just be you need to put him out there because of all the effort and the little things he did. But now he has that mentality that he can score against anybody. He's going to defend. He's going to rebound. Yeah, he's going to make some mistakes because he's not, you know, he's not an elite anything other than an elite competitor. And I will take an elite competitor on my team all day, every day. You know, we were talking about earlier this week of like who on Tennessee's starting five would you take over anybody on Kentucky starting five or Auburn starting five, or this, and I would take John Fulkerson on anybody starting five because of the way that he competes and impacts the game with his hustle. But now he's added the ability to score and make plays for his team. And so, he's made some mistakes down the stretch of that game versus South Carolina, but we wouldn't have even been in that basketball game without him. And so if he has another game like he did tonight, Tennessee will win the basketball game.
Hey, Mark, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. How's your squad doing these days?
Well, I'll be walking to the gym here shortly. We've got our first round of our tournament. We won our championship on Saturday. Another high-scoring affair, 12-8. But girls are playing their tails off, and I'm loving every moment of it.
Well, good luck, and congratulations. Keep it going.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great night.
All right. Mark. You as well. We always appreciate it. That's Mark Pankratz. We look forward to him joining us on Tuesday to talk Tennessee, SEC, and college hoops. We'll get a preview of tonight's ball game between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Comments from Rick Barnes next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Illinois.
Final half hour of the show begins as we get you ready for Tennessee and Vanderbilt between now and 6 o'clock when we step aside for Vol Network coverage. We'll also have an Eric Kane practice report. We can tell you that Zach Daniels, a home run, a solo shot that cleared the batter's eye in center field as he obliterated a second baseball. So Tennessee, two home runs today, more free chicken sandwiches. That's why right now it's a profit deal if you're going to Tennessee baseball games. They've hit two home runs in every game, and they've got that deal going with Chick-fil-A that if you just take your ticket, you've got a couple, let's see, six business days or something like that to turn it in.
Is it season long?
Season long.
Nice.
But two home runs for Tennessee today, as the first was by Jake Rucker, the second by Zach Daniels, and I think that makes it three players with two home runs now for Tennessee in the season, not the ball game. Vols lead 6-2 as they play top of the fifth. It's Rick Barnes talking Monday, yesterday, about Tennessee and Vanderbilt. He was asked, how important is it for this group, this young group of volunteers, to get to postseason play, even if it isn't in the NCAA tournament?
You know what I think the most important thing, Grant, we talked about is where we can really get the leadership. And if it's not going to be from the older guys, it's got to be from younger guys. Like we showed a clip in the game where it hasn't happened too many times this year, because if you look at our older guys, they're not the most vocal guys. And if you see, you talk to them, you guys do, they're, you know, I'd say they're on the side of being quiet, but there was a play where Devontae Gaines was playing really hard, got tripped, got up, and made another play and got turned around talking to his teammates. in a way like, you know, we got to get a stop here. That's what we're lacking, and we got to get that. And I don't care if it comes from if the sophomores have to step up and do it or the freshmen, they've got to do it. And but we that's where, as we continue this year out, that's the one thing that I'd like to think that we can get some momentum somewhere, that building for the future, but with this team. And so we challenged our older guys yesterday about that. You know, where's it going to come from coming down the stretch? Because we've got a lot of opportunities right here in front of us. And we've told them there's not a game on our schedule we can't win. But we're going to have to – you can't turn the ball over 20 times, because once you do that, I mean, you're almost having to play near perfection to win a game. When you give a team an extra, you know, 20 possessions, and we miss some key guys miss some free throws. That guys that we think can make shots. Those are the things that, again, you don't want to go into any game thinking you got to be perfect. But if you're going to turn it over 20 times, you got to darn near be perfect if you're going to win. And so that goes back to what we're talking about, the leadership. And I'm not thinking about. You know, we want to be in postseason, we do. But right now, we've got to worry about Vanderbilt and get ready for that, and then the next one after that. We always think about postseason. Don't get me wrong. We always think about it. We know what goes into it, and it's winning games. And that's, you got to win games.
Rick Barnes was asked, "What have you seen out of Vanderbilt the last couple of weeks?"
I think Jerry's done a great job. I really do, and I watch them. I think his players have improved. You know, they went through a period where they were in a shooting slump, and it hurt them. But you look at, there's not one guy on their team that hasn't improved since we played them. And again, I think that's a sign of, you know, terrific coaching and players that want to be coached. And they've made it hard on everybody they play. They obviously beat, you know, LSU when they were undefeated, number one in the league, and they had Kentucky down at halftime, and they're close, like everybody, you know, they're there, and so you've got to be ready to play. It's plain and simple, and they have the ability, and they've proven that they can, even though they've got the one win, but they've played everybody tough, and I guarantee you, when they sit down and watch tape just like we do, they show the what ifs, things that they can certainly fix, and I'm sure that's what he and his staff's trying to do.
Coach Barnes was asked, "What are some things you can do to draw more out of the more naturally quiet guys on the team when it comes to leadership?"
Well, when you talk about it, it's not. I don't want anybody to. I don't like any of the phony stuff. I don't like that. It's just simply, it could be coming down the floor. Like I give you a great example. I thought Coach Zarr was terrific coming down the stretch Saturday. I mean, I watched him out there talking to his teammates when they were on defense, and I thought that, again, nothing crazy. It's just that, but the game's going on, you're aware of what needs to be. And it's not just you. You're talking to your teammates. And Folke has done some of that. I mean, he's gotten to where he out of bounds play the other day. He called it. And what I'm talking about is, you know, people pretty much know when that clock gets down under 10, we're going to probably switch all ball screens and switch. But the first half, we have no problem with it. The second half we do, because first half we're down there and they can hear us. But you'd be amazed how much we've talked to our guys about somebody's got to be, you know, players should be knowing the shot clock, and they got to be on the defensive end as much as on the offensive end. And the guy, when you go up to set a ball screen, it could happen randomly, but somebody, when they're away from us, needs to be communicating. And that's the leadership. It's, you know, when you know your players, like we know each other well enough to know when a guy's body language, he might be struggling a little bit here or there. And like I made a comment to Eve during the game, "Hey, Eve, coaches don't think he got it right now." And just like that, he flipped it and became much more aggressive. It's just little subtle things where players should be thinking about their teammates more. And that's getting out of your comfort zone a little bit. And I don't think there's one guy on our team that would bark back at a guy if somebody told him, "Hey man, you need to play harder, you need to do this, you need to do that." And to me, that's the beginning of what the kind of leadership. It's not the rah-rah stuff, it's just the things, the comments that need to be said where players are talking. And it's really more difficult than you think getting guys to talk throughout the game. The best teams you play against are the ones that are communicating the whole time. I mean, we still have guys that little subtle things that we want to do, just that you have to adjustments you have to make that we're not getting from one or maybe one guy. And that's where, again, someone needs to be saying, hey, you got to, we've moved our offense up higher. You got to get up here, things like that. And that's the type of leadership that we're not getting.
And then final comments from Coach Barnes. It was he answers the question, has this team's inconsistencies been caused mostly by the amount of youth that is on the roster?
If you had told me when the season started, Lamonte Turner wasn't going to be here, Jordan Bowden's going to have his worst shooting year ever, and for us to even be where we are, we got two guys that are on the roster that wasn't even on our opening day roster. We've gone through, you know, a guy that, you know, you think about when the season started, and you guys know we were expecting Lamonte, Jordan, and Josiah James to play a lot. All three of those have had one's no longer with us, one's having as tough a year as he's ever had, and one's been hurt from the start. And for us to be where we are, I'm really proud of these guys. I really am. And the fact that we had a guy that had 3 days of practice and has done a tremendous job. Euros set out all year, come in. Just like Saturday, we had to start over again. And I think a lot of teams go through these things, and I don't think anybody feels sorry for you. I can only tell you what we've gone through. I get to go back to the games that when, like, right after Christmas, we were a team that looked, I mean, we were just a shell of what we started, and just trying to get it back together, and think that a guy comes on campus with, like, Santiago, I don't know where we'd be without him right now. I have no idea, but to be able to continue to fight back and still be in the thick of it, I think is a real compliment to these guys. I mean, I think it really is, and knowing that, again, we're not talking to them about being young, because I think when these guys have played enough minutes right now that we're in it. Like, I go back Saturday, you know, John Fulkerson had 6 turnovers. You don't expect that from him. I don't know if that might have been his career high. I think, I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of turnovers from a post guy. Eve had 2 that had nothing to do with the defense. He just went, it's the older guys that in these games this time of year that have got to really, you can't travel. You can't travel. And he got, Folky had 1 turnover, he got tripped and he got up. You can't stand up. That's a rule. When you're on the floor of the ball, those are plays you can't do. But, again, the consistency, our whole year has been inconsistent. And for these guys to continue to fight the way they are and do the things, and I tell you, they have given us everything they got. And I would not trade them for anybody, because I know they're trying. I know we're going to get so much better as time goes on. Does that make us feel any better right now? We were all disappointed losing the game Saturday, because we controlled it for the most part. And it got away from us around the 7-minute mark, because we felt like they were reeling right there. And then we had some ease missed free throw at the time. It was a huge missed free throw. Then they go down and we let them have a straight line drive. They hadn't let them have it all game long. And if we go back and look at all the things that we said we have to do to beat these guys, we did them all. And in the last couple minutes of the game, we gave up a couple things that we can't. But you got to give them credit. I mean, Kosar and Lawson made a very tough runner on the baseline, and he hit a wide open 3 where we overhelped. And that's how quickly it can change. But does frustration come in sometimes with where we are? It does. But the bottom line is, we've got to find a way to finish it. And we had it, but we didn't finish it, and we got to let it go and get ready for Saturday, and I mean for tomorrow, and then on to Saturday, then on down the road.
Comments from Rick Barnes.
Well, he's right about some of those possessions at the end of the ball game, and South Carolina made those key plays. They've been playing well now, 8 of 10. The Gamecocks have won, and you know they had the right guy at the line. And Kotsar that Barnes was complimenting in the way he played and the way he communicated. They're not a very good free throw shooting team, but they had the right guy there taking the shots and making the shots, and Tennessee just didn't make enough plays.
Tennessee and Vanderbilt, we're getting closer to the start of Vol Network coverage. It'll be here at the top of the hour. What we're going to do right now is allow somebody to become a qualifier for the Coors Light Climb to a Championship. The grand prize winner will be on their way to Nashville with a pair of all-game passes to see the men's basketball championship that's coming up March 11th through the 15th, along with $500 spending money. All you have to do right now to be a qualifier is call caller number 5 at 656-WINS. Caller number 5 at 656-9467. Caller number 5, 656-WINS, and you'll be qualified for the drawing, the grand prize drawing of the Coors Light Climb to a Championship. We'll get a break and be back to close out today's edition of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
If we were a sports car, we'd be red, fast, and expensive. 99.1, The Sports Animal.
We close out today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara, and Vince will highlight John Fulkerson in tonight's Vol in the Spotlight. This is what is part of that conversation, and that is what it's been like to see Santiago Vescovi adapt as quickly as he has to the SEC.
Coach Barnes, almost every opportunity, has really complimented Santiago Vescovi on how quickly he's been able to adapt and how he gets it after one time telling him something he has to do and being so here such a short period of time. I know you've taken him out to eat, like cookout and some of those type of places. From your vantage point as a teammate, how impressed are you at how quickly he's adapted and blended in and playing pretty well?
Right. He's done a really good job. I mean, if you just think about it, coming to a new country, new team, new city, new culture, basically throwing him in this offense, throwing him in the SEC, when the top college conferences in the nation, and for him to do as well as he has, to run our offense as well as he has, I feel like credit to him for doing that. Even though he's only 18 years old, I feel like that's very mature of him. I'm not really sure how he's done it, because I had struggled moving 2 hours away. I think also credit to our support system that we have here, you know, whether it's like academics, dietitian, Mary Carter, G, IJ, I feel like we have such a good support system around us that they just, you know, make a lot of things easier for us. And so I think that's really helped him with that transition and just feel comfortable.
How about that? That's fantastic that he's looking out for one of the newcomers and showing him as much of about our area as he can.
He'll take him to his beloved pals up in the Tri-Cities before long, but during the season it's tough. But
We've got 30 seconds left in the show. Vince, what do you see as the keys tonight for Tennessee against the Commodores?
Yeah, easy baskets, so they're not having to work as hard in the half court. They were successful with that 1-2-2 three-quarter court zone. We'll see how much we see it tonight. It was very successful against Vandy in Nashville, their first meeting.
Yeah, Tennessee, it'd be interesting to see exactly how they come back from letting one slip through their fingers in Columbia. But Vince Ferrara, thank you so much for filling in as well as you have.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sean.
And that's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk. The Vols are up next.